This was a much prayed for day, 500 and whatever, 20, 30 years ago. The appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Krishnadas Kaviraj, in telling us the story, he begins by explaining how a lot of people were praying for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. In particular, Advaita. Advaita Acharya was the leader of the Brahmin community in Navadvipa and also in Shantipur. Very much respected person. And although he was an aristocratic Brahmin, widely respected by everyone, he was always thinking about the suffering of the ordinary people. Apparently, he had great compassion. And he looked around him and he saw that the religious traditions were in disarray. Navadvipa at that time was a center of worship of the goddess Durga. Society was kind of upside down because the rulers were Muslim. And although they tolerated the Hindus, they didn't favor them. So that was no doubt part of the problem. The other part of the problem was that Navadvipa was a what we would now call a university town, full of rowdy students. They were not quite up to the rowdy standards of today. But at the end of the day, the students would congregate mostly down by the river. And they would their sport was that they would challenge each other to debates. So it was pretty tame by modern standards. But also they enjoyed everyone. The culture was worshipping Durga was something that clearly it was quite riotous sometimes. And so the sort of the way of entertainment was worshipping goddess Durga and kind of enjoying life. The Vaishnava tradition was there, but it was sidelined. The Vaishnavas kept their heads down. They were anxious not to draw attention to themselves too much. They kept in their homes their deities of Vishnu. And one of those Vaishnavas was Lord Chaitanya's father, Jagannath Mishra. He had moved, like many scholarly men, he'd moved to Navadvipa in search of a living, essentially. He came there to set up a school and to teach. He'd come from East Bengal. So Navadvipa was a thriving town where the Vaishnavas were sidelined. And the leader of all the Vaishnavas was Advaita. And he was praying to the Lord, please do something to reestablish, to remind people of the true teachings of Vaishnavism, which they've lost sight of. And he also adopted as a friend and as a highly respected person, he adopted Haridas. Haridas, whom we, every day when we bow down at the end of the aarti and so on, we repeat the name Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. Haridas has a very important role in our tradition. He's been given the title Namacharya. He's the teacher of the chanting of the holy names. But what's interesting about Haridas is that he was born a Muslim. So he's very relevant, really, for the modern Krishna consciousness movement. That he was not born into a Vaishnava family. Although some people say, actually, that he was in some way related to a Vaishnava family, but the main account we get of Haridas is that he was a Muslim. But he was very attracted to chanting. And as a result of that, there's an amazing story of how Haridas attracted the wrong kind of attention from the local Muslim ruler. The Muslim rulers were prepared to tolerate Hindus practicing their religion, but of course, for a Muslim to convert and become a Hindu was intolerable to them. So he was persecuted in most horrible ways. But because of the strength of his faith, he survived that. Krishna protected him. And eventually, Advaita took Haridas under his shelter, and then he was safe, because everyone, the whole community, respected Advaita. So he provided Haridas with a bhajan kutir, a little cottage where he could chant. And there's a celebrated occasion in which when Advaita wanted to teach the community that, look, it doesn't matter if someone comes from what is considered to be a degraded background. If that person is chanting the names of Krishna, I respect that person as the best of the Brahmins. So there was every year there was a traditional event, offering was made at a festival. And on that occasion, the tradition was that the most elevated Brahmin present would be invited to make the offering. And Advaita made this point by inviting Haridas to that event. And Haridas preached wonderfully about the power of the chanting of the holy names. So Haridas was living with Advaita, and together they were praying for the appearance of the Lord in some way or another to come into this world. Then there were others that were praying, particularly Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata. They were married and they wanted to have children. One after another, Sachimata had 8 daughters, and all of them died when they were very young, which is not so unusual in those days, even in this country. You know, people had big families because half the children probably wouldn't make it beyond 6 or 7 years old. So it was very common. But in the case of Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata, they had what it seemed like terrible misfortune. One after another, 8 daughters, and they all died. But somehow or another, they didn't give up their faith in Krishna or in Vishnu. They were praying in their house. They had their family shrine to Vishnu. In the eyes of a devotee, what appears to be misfortune, we can understand, may not be so. Sometimes, you know, from our perspective, we don't see the whole picture. I came across a wonderful example of that. I must have liked to think of myself as a literary kind of person, so I read a biography of Aldous Huxley, one of the great writers of the 20th century in English, who incidentally wrote quite a lot about Vedanta and Eastern philosophy and popularized it in England. Anyway, when he was a young man, he was at Oxford University, and the First World War broke out. And together with all his friends, he rushed to sign up to go out and fight in France. They all thought that this was a wonderful opportunity to do something glorious. So he was, along with the others, he was dispatched to a training camp for 3 months training. And while he was training, a friend of his, the guy alongside him in some exercise, threw a hand grenade in the wrong direction, and it blew up Aldous Huxley's foot. So as a result, he was hospitalized for the next 6 months. And when he got out of hospital, he was passed unfit for military service. So he spent the rest of the war behind a desk. It seemed like a great misfortune. I mean, what a crazy thing to happen. Your friend blows your foot up. But actually, the end result was, by the end of the war, all his friends, practically every single one, all of whom brilliant scholars at Oxford, they were all killed. And he survived, and he went on to become one of the greatest, you know, English writers of the 20th century. So it's a very simple and obvious example that who knows what is fortune and what is misfortune. If I have faith that Krishna is my protector, then I don't have to be too disturbed when things appear to go wrong, but just hang in there and know that ultimately everything, there's a plan. So this was the case with Jagannath and Satyamata, they undergoing these terrible misfortunes. Satyamata didn't give up faith. She continued to pray. And so her ninth child turned out to be a healthy boy. And his name was Viswarup. And then shortly after that, a year or so later, another child was born, who was Lord Chaitanya. Now, I don't want to read anything into that story. Of course, it's very reminiscent of the appearance of Lord Krishna, who was also the eighth child, preceded by many who died. But one can meditate on the fact that the appearance of Krishna is not something that may come cheaply. As Krishna says himself in the Bhagavad Gita, that to realize me, to know me, is a very rare thing. Out of thousands of people, maybe only one or two are interested in spiritual life at all. And out of those who are interested in spiritual life, Krishna says, hardly one knows me. And then he goes on to say, this is in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he explains how this world is full of living entities. And out of them, a few are pious, and they turn to me for different reasons. And then finally he concludes that passage of 10 or 12 verses with the verse which says that after many lifetimes of seeking the truth, a person may finally come to the conclusion that Vasudev Sarvam Iti, that Vasudev Krishna is the cause of all causes. And such a person is very rare. So therefore, you know, we should know that Krishna consciousness, spiritual realization, is not a cheap thing. And yet at the same time, we're encouraged to feel confident that if I've taken up this path, I will eventually, I'll get there. And Prabhupada gives that wonderful example of a young wife. She's newly married and she wants a baby. So she has to be patient. A baby will come in time. These days she might have to wait till she's 36, because that's the average age, I think, of the first baby. times have changed. But that example is given. Prabhupada is giving us, he must have got it from the great Vaishnava teachers. Because it's illustrating the process of something growing. You know, a seed is planted. So when I'm fortunate to meet a great soul, fortunate to come in contact with Srila Prabhupada and with his followers, then a seed is planted. And it may take some time, but eventually the result will come. So I'd like to just read this, tell you this story a little bit, to remember how Lord Chaitanya was born. So after all these travails, Sachi Mata had a little baby, Visvarup, and now a few years later, Sachi conceived again. This time it seemed that the Spirit of God had descended upon her, and in her joy she shone with spiritual beauty. After their succession of misfortunes, it seemed that the sorrows of Sachi and Jagannath were finally over. Everyone wanted to congratulate them, and people would stop Jagannath in the street to offer him gifts. In her dreams, Sachi saw heavenly beings offering prayers to the child in her womb, and both of them felt sure that a special child was about to be born. In the spring of 1486, on the full moon day of Falguna, Sachi's long pregnancy reached its end, and she gave birth to a beautiful golden boy. That evening the moon rose and entered a full eclipse. As his face dimmed, the world entered a smoky twilight. During this time of shadows, people feared the darkened rays of the moon, thinking they might bring misfortune. To counteract this threat, the people of Navadvip sought the safety of Mother Ganges, immersing themselves in her waters and offering prayers. Even those who were normally not observant took these precautions, such was the gravity of the occasion. So it was, following ancient custom, that with one voice the people chanted Krishna's names. This was the unique moment when with the world in shadows and everyone singing Krishna's names, that the Lord chose to be born as the golden son of Sachi Devi. When Advaita saw the eclipse, he understood that something special was happening. He bathed in the Ganges and chanted and danced with great joy. Other Vaishnavas living in Navadvip saw him and realized that he was celebrating more than just a lunar eclipse. Although they didn't fully understand what was happening, they joined him in celebrations. Everywhere the atmosphere became peaceful and calm, and people's minds were uplifted. Musicians began to sing and play musical instruments, and dancers joined them in the streets of Navadvip. Unseen by ordinary people, celestial beings gathered in the sky, and their music wafted through the heavens. As soon as the little child was born, Jagannath Mishra called his family priests to chant prayers and musicians to help them celebrate. A joyful festival was held that attracted crowds of well-wishers who brought gifts to honor Sachi and her newborn child. Chief among the guests was Sita, wife of Advaita, who came from Shantipur, bringing with her golden bracelets, anklets, necklaces, silks, sandalwood, and gold and silver coins to present to the baby. She wanted to see for herself this special child who had come in answer to her husband's prayers. A regular stream of friends and relatives started visiting the young mother and child. They noticed a wonderful thing. If Nimai would start to cry, they would chant the names of Krishna, and he would immediately fall silent and smile blissfully. However, if they stopped singing, he'd start to cry again. Soon they understood what he wanted. They should sing God's names, and this they gladly did, clapping their hands and singing until the air was filled with the sound of Hari Hari. The ladies who chanted Krishna's names gave the golden-limbed child the name Gaurahari, the Golden Lord. So from the beginning of his appearance, the little child, Lord Chaitanya, was teaching to chant the holy names of God. Much later in life, he was once asked, when Lord Chaitanya was, after he took sannyas, he moved to Jagannath Puri, and visitors used to come to see him from Navadvipa. They missed him, his company, so each year they would come to spend some time with him. And when it was time to return, one of the devotees was a householder. He wanted to get some special teaching. So he asked Lord Chaitanya, how should a householder practice Krishna consciousness? So Lord Chaitanya replied, always chant the holy name of Krishna and serve the Vaishnavas. Then came a very relevant question. Well, how do I know who's a Vaishnava? And Lord Chaitanya's answer is very simple. Anyone who ceaselessly chants Krishna's name should be honored as the best of persons. No other spiritual practice is necessary, for Krishna's name destroys all sins and makes everything complete. Krishna's name not only frees the soul from material conditioning, but also awakens the soul's natural love for Krishna. Therefore, anyone who chants Krishna's name is a true Vaishnava. So I think it's wonderful that so many people are chanting Hare Krishna nowadays. Personally, I'm less concerned which particular sampradaya they claim to belong to, but they're chanting Hare Krishna. I think now on Oxford Street there's several different kirtan parties come, and nobody knows quite where they come from, but they go up and down Oxford Street singing Hare Krishna. So according to this basic criterion, anyone who sings Krishna's name, who's somehow, you know, got some attachment for Krishna's name, that person is a Vaishnava. However, this householder, I was going to say he's not satisfied, he asked another question, but according to this account, he didn't ask the question, but Lord Chaitanya gave him more information. Among Vaishnavas, he said, the one whose mere presence inspires others to chant Krishna's name is the best of all. Now, I heard this story from Srila Prabhupada, and I like telling this story, so I probably told it to some of you before. When Prabhupada was staying in Bury Place, he used to walk in Russell Square. It's a short walk from the temple. So one morning we went off with Prabhupada, following him to Russell Square. We went up the road that runs alongside the British Museum, and there's some hotels along that road. And as we were walking early in the morning, there was a cleaner out on the hotel steps halfway up who was mopping the steps. And he saw these Hare Krishna people coming along. And he just called out, "Hey, Krishna!" Something like that. In a sort of joking, kind of jocular, slightly mocking, but friendly way. And of course, we had Prabhupada in the midst of us. We were only probably four or five of us, and Prabhupada was in the middle. And Prabhupada always had a great sense of dignity. So he didn't joke back on that occasion. Sometimes he might, but on that occasion he didn't. He just held his head up, chanting Hare Krishna, walked past. And then when we got to the end of the road, he stopped. He turned around and he said, he quoted this story. He said, "Who is a Vaishnava? Anyone who, when others see that person, they chant Krishna's name, that is a Vaishnava." So ever after that, I always remembered that, you know, if I would go, I don't do it nowadays, I've fallen, but I used to always wear a dhoti and a shaven head and tilak. And whenever I would go from A to B, I would always try and go the busiest route. So as many people as possible would see me, and maybe some of them might go, "Oh, there's a Hare Krishna person." So that's, you know, that's what we do. We remind people of, we try to remind people of Krishna. And the process of chanting Krishna's name is very universal. I wanted to just remind ourselves of one of the verses. As you might know, Lord Chaitanya only wrote eight. He wrote one poem of eight verses. As far as I know, he didn't actually write it down. Somebody else must have written it down, but he used to recite this Shikshastakam. And it's always been extraordinary to me that such a great erudite person as Lord Chaitanya, after all, when he was a young man, he was famed for his scholarship. And people came from far and wide to study as his students, yet he didn't write any books. Very solitary reminder for those of us who aspire to be writers. He just recited one poem. And the second verse is about the mercy of Krishna in the form of his holy name. So I'm just going to sing that verse.
Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sava Shaktis Tatrapita Niyamita Smaranina Kala Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sava Shaktis Tatrapita Niyamita Smaranina Kala Etadrisitava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaiva Midrisam Ihajani Nanuraga Etadrisitava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaivam Idrisam Ihajani Nanuraga.
This is Lord Chaitanya saying, "My Lord, you're so merciful because you have given us not one name, but hundreds and thousands of names. And in each name you have placed your full potency. And not only that, but there are no rules for how to chant these names. You can chant them, you can remember Krishna's name at any time. Then Sri Chaitanya goes on to say, however, your mercy is so wonderful, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for chanting these names." So it's a wonderful juxtaposition of, on the one hand, the glory of the mercy of Krishna, which is so unlimited, that he has given, you know, so many names. Very important for our tradition, because we Vaishnavas, we're not narrow, we don't exclude different people's faith in different names of God. Any name. Once a nun came to visit Prabhupada in his room in Berry Place in 1972, and she had seen, she lived in a small little community just around the corner from the temple. Four nuns had established a sort of a city center small community. And she used to see the devotees chanting their rounds in the mornings in Berry Place. We'd heard, Prabhupada told us, it's very auspicious to circumambulate the deities. But we couldn't because, you know, the building was a terraced house. So what devotees did was go out the front door, turn right, and just keep turning right till you get back to the front door. Which meant actually we were circumambulating, you know, St. George's Church, the occult bookshop on the other end of the block, the hotel next door, and the pub. But in the middle of all those was Krishna, which is a wonderful demonstration, actually, of how Krishna can be found in the midst of any place you can find Krishna. So she used to see devotees every morning. She'd see this procession of devotees going, you know, for hours round and round. If you couldn't stay awake chanting your rounds, the temple room was too small to walk up and down, so you just went and walked round the block. And it fascinated her, because she could see that they had beads in their bags. And she was one of those nuns that wore a long habit, like most did in those days, and she had a cord tied around her waist, and hanging from the cord was a long string of wooden prayer beads, rosary beads. So she came to see Prabhupada, and immediately she wanted to know, tell me about the chanting. You know, what are you thinking when you're chanting Krishna's name? What does it mean? Prabhupada had a wonderful conversation with her. It's available in the archive. In which he just completely accepted that. He asked her, well, what mantra do you chant? And she said, well, I chant, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And Prabhupada said, very nice. And on that basis, they discussed the virtues of chanting Krishna's name. And whenever such situations arose, also Prabhupada, he advised his disciples at one point in, I think they were in Iran, he said they could go on the street and chant the names of Allah, because they, you know, otherwise they'd get into trouble. So he did have actually a very broad approach to other people's faith. And he always said, you know, we're not asking people to convert from being Hindu or Christian or Muslim, but just to become lovers of God. And that's here in this verse which Lord Chaitanya wrote. My Lord, you have unlimited numbers of names, and in each and every one you have invested your full potencies. But then comes the perpetual lament of the Vaishnava, and Lord Chaitanya is playing the role of a humble devotee, that my misfortune is I'm not attracted to chanting your names. That's my misfortune. This mood of humility is, of course, something that we'd sometimes, you know, like to talk about, but humility is not such an easy thing. Pride is a very easy thing in this world, false pride. But the wonderful arrangement of Krishna is material life teaches you humility. In the course of living in this world, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, it's a very hard place. the material nature is very difficult to overcome, full of disappointments. And we set out with such grand plans in life. And one by one, you know, all the big plans are dismantled by the force of time. And the once beautiful material body starts to deteriorate. Families get into trouble and break up. People fall out. And generally speaking, the world is full of disillusioned idealists. So we're lucky that, you know, although we come into this world, we're told that we come into this world, you know, wishing to lord it over the material nature, but it kind of gets knocked out of you in the end. And so we're forced to learn humility. Yeah. At least if one has any common sense at all, one will learn to be humble in the face of insurmountable nature. The great thing about what Lord Chaitanya has taught us, and of course in the next verse, which everyone knows because we recite it every morning,
Trinadapi sunichena charo rivasya hishnuna amanina manadena kitaniya sadahari.
Lord Chaitanya advises that we should become more tolerant than a tree. Feel ourselves lower than a straw in the street. I remember Prabhupada in this room here once, he was telling us how to preach. He said it's very simple. You take a straw and put it in your mouth, and you go and knock on a person's door with a straw in your mouth. You say, "My dear sir, you are so wonderful. You are so successful. Everything great. Please, just forget everything you've learned and surrender to Krishna. This is the way to preach." That's very easy. Anyway, this is such an essential teaching of Lord Chaitanya. And perhaps that's one of the... we're not supposed to speculate, but it seems like that must be one of the reasons he didn't write any books. He could have written volumes and volumes of books. Many people did in his day, but he didn't. All he wanted to do was to chant Krishna's name. And he taught us this beautiful verse. And actually, the mood of humility runs all the way through the Shikshastakam prayers. But this particular verse encapsulates it. If I can feel myself, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. If I can feel myself to be lower than the straw in the street, which means, in other words, if I believe the philosophy that we're teaching, that we're learning, that I am, after all, a tiny, tiny spirit soul. And if I can remember that next time things go wrong, I'm a tiny spirit soul, but I'm an eternal spirit soul, an imperishable spirit soul, and I've embarked on this path of Krishna consciousness, and like the young mother, she's going to have her baby. Or Prabhupada says, in the middle of the night, if you want the sun to rise, it won't rise, but it will come. 6 o'clock in the morning, the sun will rise. And so we have a very glorious sort of future awaiting us. Okay, there's just time to sing the second song, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So I'll sing that now. Hare Krishna. it for me in the Sri Krishna Chaitanya, it's in there somewhere.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Karo More. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Karo More. Toma Vina Ke Dayalu Jagat Samsare. Toma Vina Ke Dayalu Jagat Samsare. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Karo More. Toma Vina Ke Dayalu Jagat Samsare. Ha ha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi. Nityananda Premananda Sukhi. Kripa Balo Kanakoro Ami Baro Du. Kripa Balo Kana Koro Ami Baro Dukhi. Paticha Pavana Hetu Tavavatara. Mosama Paticha Prabhu Napaiveyara. Sama Paticha Prabhu Na Pai Vyara. Daya Karo Prasitapati Adwaita Gosai. Tava Kripa Balipa Chaitanya Nita Haha Swarup Sanatan Rupa Raghunatha Bhata Yoga Sri Jiva Ha Prabhu Lokana Daya Koro Sri Acharya Prabhu Srinivas Ramachandra Sangamade Narottamoda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Karo Mohare Tama Vina Kedayanu Jagat Samsare Mabina ke dayalu jagat sansare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Prabhupada ki.